The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Your Bible, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you will, please, and look at verse 14, and let's consider this tonight. The Bible says, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Now, we understand this tonight, that which is Christ has risen, and your preaching and your faith is not in vain. We do understand that tonight. But I want us to kind of take it all the way down and kind of look at some verses tonight that could be very helpful to us. And so look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look it down, if you will, in verse 19. The latter portion of the verse, it says, we are of all men most miserable. So he said this, he said, if Christ is not risen, one of the results of that is, you know, your preaching is going to be in vain, your faith is going to be in vain, then we see something else, you're going to be miserable. I mean, if Christ be not risen, you're going to be miserable. I mean, you know, what's the sense of singing about a faith that is complete in Christ if he be not risen? What's the sense of opening up a Bible that is not true if he be not risen? What is the sense of coming to church and running buses and running vans if he be not risen? Now, tonight, you can thank God that your faith is not in vain. Let me give you some reasons tonight. Statement number one, because salvation is not in vain. Salvation is not in vain. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20, the Bible says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become, it says, the first fruits of them that sleep. And so he is risen from the dead. You do not serve a living God, a dead God tonight. You serve a living God. We serve a God tonight that wants to be close to you. We serve a God tonight that wants to answer your prayers. We serve a God tonight that's real. We serve a God tonight that's just not some foreigner to you, but yet he becomes your father. So we understand that salvation is not in vain. It is worth it tonight. The Muslims would say that they believe in Allah and they believe in the prophet Muhammad. But can I tell you tonight that it is in vain what they believe in, but our faith is not in vain because we serve the living Christ. Now, I say you can go to all the religions of the world. You can go to a Buddhist tonight that has the big belly or the Buddhist tonight that has the small belly, depending on what country he comes from. You can go to that Buddha tonight, and I can tell you that somebody putting their faith in Buddha tonight is in vain. You can go to the Hindus, if you will, tonight that worship the cows and they believe in reincarnation and they have 1,000 different idols to put their worship into. And I can tell you tonight, it's in vain. You can go to the Jehovah's Witness tonight that believes in a works religion and they believe in following Joseph Smith tonight. And I can tell you tonight that's going to be in vain, but you serve a living God tonight that's not in vain. You can follow the teachings of Mormonism tonight, and you can follow all the church doctrine that they have. And I'm going to tell you tonight, it's in vain, but you can follow the Lord Jesus Christ all day long, and he's not in vain. You can follow, and I was raised Catholic, and I'm not anti-Catholic, nor am I anti-Mormon or anti-Jehovah's Witness, really. I'm just pro-Jesus all the way. Now, may I tell you tonight, but a Catholic may rely on the sacraments and may rely on the sprinklings and may rely on the confessions and may rely on their prayers to Mary and may rely on their prayers to all the saints. And I'm going to tell you, it's in vain. It's in vain. There's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Now, you may get a little sideways with me tonight, but I'm telling you, somebody's got to be pro-Jesus. Somebody has to. You ought to get on the housetop tonight. Thank God for a big day, but let's have more big days, and let's run more buses, and let's go out and let's talk to more people about Jesus Christ. Why? Because your religion in Christ through salvation is not in vain tonight. The Church of Christ believes you get saved by baptism. May I tell you, baptism doesn't cleanse anyone. The Lutherans tonight believe that you get saved by good works and by moral behavior, but that's not according to the Bible. Many charismatics believe that you get saved and by an emotional experience. And to top it off, to know that you got saved by your emotional experience, you have to be able to speak in tongues. Well, I know people that speak in all sorts of tongues. They've never had any emotional experience. But that's in vain. Jesus Christ is not in vain tonight. Now let me help you just a little bit. Would you stand, hold your Bible? If this is a picture tonight of Jesus Christ, Brother Jonathan, stand over here and hold your Bible. And this is a picture of man with his false Bible, and we'll call him whatever you want to. And my Bible says, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh to the Father but by me. There's only one but in there. I just got hung up. But Jonathan said, wrong Bible. But when we understand tonight, that there, look, man, you don't have to apologize for Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I tell you what, I'm afraid to just be pro-Jesus because that means I'm anti. It might just mean that you want him first. But can I tell you, I can't walk this direction and this direction at the same time. And I can't run over here and run over there and run over here and run over there. I'm going to look pretty silly. Why don't we just settle the matter tonight? It's Jesus. By the way, can I help you tonight? You being a Baptist don't take you to heaven either. I've seen many Baptists that are lost Baptists, and I'm saying tonight, you understand that you're not doing that which is in vain when it comes to salvation. It's Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Now may I say thank you, be seated. Jesus is the Son of God. He did go to Calvary. He did shed his blood. He did die on the cross. He was buried in the tomb. He was resurrected from the grave. He did enter into the heavenlies and going into the Holy of Holies. He is the perfect Lamb of God that shed his blood. He did take his blood and lay it on the mercy seat. He does sit today at the right hand of God the Father. Nobody else does that. Only Jesus. May I say tonight that Jesus Christ, you need not to be ashamed of him, and your salvation is not in vain tonight. Jesus Christ, the Bible talks about this one. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, I know whom I have believed. That's Jesus. I know him. I know in whom I have believed. And the Bible talks about that one. The Bible says that I am persuaded, this is Paul talking about that one, that he is able to keep them which I've committed unto him against that day. He said, look, I know that he's able to keep those that are saved. Aren't you glad tonight that you have a Savior that gives everlasting life? It's not if you sin, you lose it. It is when you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, you receive all of that which is the power of God through the Son of God, and he gave you everlasting life. I don't come to church in order to get it. I come to church to give because I got it. I'm saying tonight, salvation is not in vain. Statement number two, your separation is not in vain. Your separation is not in vain. Look at it. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. The Bible says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. The latter portion of that verse says this, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now, we're supposed to shine. You're supposed to allow Jesus Christ not just to be in you as a light, but to shine through you. Now, why? Well, the Bible says in verse 16, it says, holding forth the word of life. You don't want to live a life in such a way that it causes other people to stumble over you or you to fumble the ball. He says that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Now, how is it that I can live for God and let my light shine? How is it that I can practice a separation that is not in vain? Well, stay with me and think about this with me, if you will. Kind of reason with me a little bit tonight on what do you miss when you're separated? What do you really miss? I want you to think about it tonight. Let's say you're separated from smoking. What do you miss? You miss cancer. Oh, that's terrible. Let's say tonight that you choose to separate yourself from drinking liquor. What do you miss? Possible car wreck. Oh, that's just terrible. Let's say tonight you separate yourself from gambling. What do you miss? Possible poverty. Let's say tonight that you decide that you're going to separate yourself from immodesty tonight. What do you miss? Well, lust, adultery, possible rape. You understand if you separate yourself from pornography tonight, you probably prevented yourself from having a reprobate mind. Do you understand tonight, if you separated yourself from the rock music, you probably have chosen tonight not to get caught up in rebellion, not to get caught up in crime, not to get caught up in hatred, simply because you chose to separate yourself from something tonight. You understand, if you separate yourself from adultery tonight, you probably are going to miss divorce. You separate yourself from the wrong crowd tonight, you're probably going to miss that which is being impure and living in regret and possibly even some jail time. So separation is not really bad. Separation helps you. And by the way, there used to be in America preachers that would stand behind the pulpit and they would cry aloud and they would holler and they would preach against the sinfulness of that which was a wicked world. But now you don't have that. People are cowing down because we're going to try and get more crowds. I'm saying the old time way is still the right way. I'm saying there needs to be godly preaching. I'm saying that when you stand up and you live for God, there's going to be some separation, and God is for it. Now I say tonight, the Bible still says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, says, wherefore come out from among them. Who is the them? The Bible says, and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things. So who is them? The who that is them is those that are mixed up in unclean things. Would you say tonight that smoking is unclean? Would you say that ungodly living is unclean? Would you say that having a perverted mind is unclean? Would you say that living a life that would cause you to go into sin and get some disease is unclean? Well, God says this. He says, wherefore come out from among them, the Bible says, and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. All right, let's go back. Now you're the world. Leave your Bible. And we go back to you, righteousness, Bible. Now, wait a minute. If I'm heading towards righteousness, stay with simple illustration. We're all tired, so tonight everything has to be simple. If I'm heading towards righteousness, I cannot be heading towards unrighteousness at the same time. Is that right? So I cannot be heading both ways. So you know, there's two parts of separation. Do we understand that? There's separation from the world, and there's separation onto God. Amen. Onto God. Now, by the way, when you separate yourself from the world, you cannot live by yourself and survive. Eventually, your flesh will give you trouble, and you'll quit. So you need somebody that's greater than you. The Bible says, are you listening to me? That he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So when I separate myself, I need somebody to help me. Somebody to encourage me. How many of you have ever been discouraged a day in your life? Raise your hand. The other people that could not raise your hand tonight, that's never been discouraged. Please sign my Bible. But all of us have been discouraged at one time or another. All of us. All right, now wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. When you get discouraged, you can go to a friend that is in the world. And the friend in the world can pat you on the back, say it's going to be okay. Or you can go to that which is God, and you can even trip and fall, and when you do, God holds you up. God doesn't struggle the way you did either. Okay, that's enough of that illustration. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Wait a minute, it's not done. The Bible says in verse 18, and will be a father. Now that word father is not talking about positionally. You know that when you get saved, that God becomes your father. But this gives a more passionate statement. Some of you are dads tonight. Can I be honest with you? But you're not a very good father. Your boy comes in, he doesn't know you. Your girl comes in, she doesn't know you. You don't spend any intimate time and talking and finding out their heart, helping their heart, guiding their heart. You're just a businessman and you treat them just like they're one of the employees. That's not a good relationship. Now, I say tonight, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Amen. It's an intimate relationship. It's an intimate relationship. All right? And so what happens when I separate myself from the unclean and I make God my father? When I'm drawing closer, how do you learn somebody's heart? You walk beside them. You get to know them. You spend time with them. And so by doing, you become close to them. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as receive him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them believe on his name. So what do? Once I receive him as Savior, I become a son. But wait a minute, I want to grow in that relationship. So I go to my Heavenly Father and I say, as I get on my knees and I say, dear God, I don't know what to do about this situation. Would you please help me? And God always will point me to that which is truth. And he says, this is what I want you to do. All right, then if I do what God tells me to do, then I can come over here and can even help my friend by pulling them in the direction of God. The problem is we let our friends pull us away from God. Now, wait a minute, watch this. And so statement number one, here's what we understand. Salvation, your salvation is not in vain. Statement number two, your separation is not in vain. Statement number three, your soul winning is not in vain. It is not in vain. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, for yourselves, brethren, it says, know our entrance into you, that it was not in vain. So he says to those at Thessalonica, he says, as we came to you, our entrance to you was not in vain. He says, but this, in verse 2, he says, bold, it says, in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God. In verse 4, he says this, he says, put your trust, it says, with the gospel. So he says this about that which is our soul winning. He says it's not in vain when we come. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1, he declares this unto the brethren. He says, moreover, brethren, he says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. He says it's not in vain. He said, I'm declaring these things. And so when you go out and you talk to somebody about Jesus Christ, it is absolutely not in vain. So it's not in vain when you talk to somebody and they listen, but they do not respond by receiving Christ. It's still not in vain. It's not in vain when you go out and you give a gospel tract, whether they read it in front of you or never read it in front of you. It is not in vain. It is not in vain when you pray for somebody to get saved, whether you see them get saved or not in your presence. It is not in vain. It is not in vain when you talk to somebody about coming to church and you don't see them on the very next Sunday. I'm telling you, it's not in vain. It's not in vain when you walk somebody down the aisle, when somebody does get baptized, when somebody does join the church, when somebody does stick it out, when somebody does be faithful, when somebody does be fruitful. It's not in vain. I think we quit sometimes too soon. Can I tell you what? People grow differently. I wish everybody would be snap, boom, here. I wish everybody, once they got saved, they got on fire for Christ. Stayed on fire all the days of their life. I wish it'd be that way. I wish that once somebody joined the church, they'd stay forever until you bury them. I wish that'd be true. But can I tell you, it's not always true. Now, what you have to do is you have to realize that your soul winning is not in vain regardless of the results. Hello? We understand tonight that when you pass out a track, when you drop a track, when you knock at a door, when you help working on a bus route, when you're working in a kid's Sunday school class, when you're talking to a stranger, when you're out soul winning in a neighborhood, when you're talking to a co-worker, when you're talking to your relatives, it's not in vain. My part is not to make them receive. My part is to simply do my part in giving them the gospel. May I remind you, please, over in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, is very real. Where the Bible says in verse 3, and he says, I spake unto them, it says, in parable saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony ground, or stony places, it says, or where they had not much earth, and forthwith, it says, they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, listen to it, they were scorched. The Bible says because they had no root and they withered away. But, now listen to this, the Bible says, and some fell among thorns and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Then it goes on in verse 8, but other fell, it says, on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold and some 60-fold and some 30-fold. Now, we like that. We like it when somebody gets plugged in and all of a sudden they get excited about Jesus and they start bringing their friends and their relatives and they pack out a pew and we say, whoopee! Hey, we like it. But may I say, some will, in their lifetime, only see 30-fold. And by the way, can I tell you something? You have to be very careful. My Bible says some comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. You know, if you have an illness tonight, you might not be able to keep up with somebody that doesn't have an illness tonight. Do you know that? Can I tell you something that happens to you in old age? Can I tell you? When you begin to get old, you slow down a little bit. Yeah. So can I ask you to do something just out of the kindness of your understanding heart? If you're a teenager tonight, don't be too hard on your parents. Can I ask you for just a little bit of mercy tonight? Can I ask you, if you're a grown adult, don't be too hard on your dad that's 20 years older than you and you're in your 50s? Can I ask you to give a little bit of mercy tonight? Can you understand that when a person gets a little bit older and they get up in the morning and they say, I just want you to know I hurt, that it just might be real? Do you understand tonight that your mom is not the same age you are? Well, I wonder why she's not producing like I am. She did when she was your age, perhaps. Or maybe greater. But now, come on, a little bit older. Do you understand that when we get older, we get bigger? You young guys, you get out there and play basketball, you're running down the court. I mean, you know, you go down the court, back, down the court, back, down the court, back, down the court, back. Nothing for you. You don't even breathe hard. We get out there, we run down half of a court and fall down dead. There is a difference. But if you're not careful as a young person, here's what you do. You use your parents as your excuse not to serve Jesus Christ. But there will be a day when you get old. There will be a day when you do slow down. Well, you know, that adult over there, they pretend to be spiritual, but I'm putting in more so many hours than they are. Yeah, look at your age. Now, I'm not trying to excuse away us older people, but look at some of your age. Look, you know, sometimes I taught Sunday school this morning. I thought it was good. I kept teaching and teaching. The clock kept going and going. People were getting antsy. And I thought, why are they antsy? This is so good. I taught all the way up to 10:45. I got people who are supposed to be in the choir room at 10:35. I'm still teaching Sunday school. Brother Kazar is trying to give me a hint. I didn't know it was him. I thought it was a bus kid. So he starts banging on the door over here. I'm still brain dead. I look out at everybody and I say, oh, just excuse it. That's a bus kid. People are opening the door. And I even said this in my Sunday school class. I said, I don't know why everybody let out so soon. I mean, I was still in my material. I haven't even given an invitation yet. And I'm teaching and teaching. I'm thinking, this is so good. Then all of a sudden I realized, I just messed up the whole morning service. People standing in the hallway can't wait to come in. And they're wondering, why can't we get in? There's some older guy in there. He don't know what he's doing. He's lost his mind. Now wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. I'm saying this. I'm saying that sometimes when we get, come on. You know, I still get people's names confused. Now, I've been your pastor almost 4 years. Yeah. Some of your names, I wish I wouldn't get confused. I just wish I could forget. I'm just kidding. But to be honest with you, you know, sometimes I do get confused. I don't know how many times I've called Mrs. Cavanaugh and Mrs. Palmore. I walk into the office and Mrs. Palmore, hey, the other night, Mrs. Watkins is in the office and she's filling out some paperwork. And I said, hi, hey, Mrs. Hernandez. And I thought, my, Mrs. Hernandez is being awfully rude to me right now. And I said, Mrs. Hernandez. She wouldn't turn around. She wouldn't say, hi, preacher, nothing. I thought, well, I called her a third time, Mrs. Hernandez, you know, kind of giving it the, you know, like, look at me. I'm existing. I breathe. And Mrs. Cavanaugh, in her polite mannerism, said, Mamie, the reason she's not answering is because that's Mrs. Watkins. And I honestly felt like crawling under the desk. I'm telling you, it happens. Yeah. Brother Bulkley, when he forgets somebody's name, he goes, give me a minute. He'll come in and he'll say, wait a minute, who are you? And I say, call me preacher, Pastor Wells, Brother Wells, boss. Anything could be fine. And he still won't call, and he'll sit down. And I knew he don't know who he's talking to. And then after a while, he'll say, preacher. And we'll talk. I'm saying it happens. Come on, it happens. Now what happens though is this. We understand that even though we do get a little bit older, we still pass out tracts. Carl Hatch and I would go soul winning, I guess when, I don't know if he's in his 70s, 80s, or, but when he was an older man before he went to heaven, We'd still do some soul winning, be in the hotels and stuff like that. He couldn't really get out. He had that four-pronged cane, and he'd kind of walk along. But he was still soul winning. But he couldn't go out like I did. I never asked him to. Never expected him to. And many times I would bring somebody to him. And he said, one time, he said, Mike, you're embarrassing me. Nobody's ever had to bring somebody to me. You're embarrassing me. He said, I can do it. Watch. The person's standing right there. He say, come here. He said, see, I still got it. But I went down the hallway, out in the cafeteria, searched, found somebody, said, come here, I got a friend that wants to talk to you. Walked him out of the cafeteria, down the hallway, over, and I said, Dr. Hatch, I like to, he would say, I still got it, watch this, come here. And sometimes we just need a little bit of a hand up. Come on. You know, sometimes you look at somebody and say, well, they're not saying amen, I wonder what's wrong with them. Maybe they're half asleep. Maybe they worked hard. Come on. I watch our bus captains that are older guys. I watch them. Come to a church service at night. Hey, exciting church service. Yeah! And they're sitting back there. If you ask them after church, were you okay? They always say this, I was praying for you. So what do? Individually? I know my staff never does that up here. Realize salvation is not in vain. Separation not in vain. Your soul winning is not in vain. Let me give you one more thing and I'm done. Your service is not in vain. It's not in vain. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, here's what it says. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He said, I just want you to understand that no matter what you do for the Lord, when you prepare a Sunday school lesson for boys and girls, it's not in vain. When you get up early and go on a bus route, it's not in vain. By the way, you'll get your just reward one day. Oh, you remember the story? Teddy Roosevelt just had he used to go hunting all the time. He's a great hunter. Just came back from Africa. Came into the New York port there. Everybody's out there waving signs and, hey, come on, President Roosevelt is here. Waving signs and banners. Streamers down from the windows. Confetti everywhere. People blowing their whistles. Missionary guy was on the same ship that came in. He was standing there and it cleared out. Everybody had gone, followed Mr. Roosevelt. He's standing there on the ship. Nobody welcomed him home after serving 30 years on the mission field. He'd suffered many, many tragedies. He was kind of depressed, kind of down, to be honest with you. The Holy Ghost of God just reminded him, you don't worry about this. You're not home yet. You're not home yet. Can I tell you, living the Christian life is one of sacrifice. It's one of giving. It's one of helping others. And sometimes we don't do a good job, do we? We don't do a good job in patting people on the back. We don't do a good job sometimes in saying, hey, look, I sure am proud of you and you did a good job. Sometimes we just don't live up to your expectations and showing people how much we really do care, how much we really do love and appreciate you. But please understand this, one day you will get your just reward. One day you'll be rewarded for those things that you've done. The Bible says that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So working in a children's church is not in vain. On a bus route, a Sunday school route, working and practicing over and over so you can sing in the choir and do a good job. Going to the nursing home when nobody sees you and you enter into some private room and you're able to encourage a dear saint of God that's all by themselves suffering in a nursing home that nobody cares about and the kids have forsaken. It's not in vain. When all of a sudden you visit somebody that's sick in the hospital or you care, you text somebody that's down or discouraged, you give a widow or a widower some help that's hurting, you comfort somebody that needs comforting, you're able to step out and able to pray with somebody that's in bereavement. You encourage somebody that looks kind of down and looks kind of discouraged. May I tell you, none of that is in vain. So now, if none of these things are in vain, if your salvation is not in vain, you ready? I'm done. If your separation is not in vain, if your soul winning is not in vain, if your service is not in vain, then why give up? Then why quit? Then why throw in the towel? Then why resign or retire? Why murder? Why suicide? Why look at the days as being something that's hard and difficult and disappointing and discouraging and depressing? Why not look at things in a different light and understand that it is God that will help? Years ago, there was a president that was shot in Dallas. It was President John F. Kennedy. He was assassinated in Dallas. Can I tell you a sad story that's a true fact that's written? There was a fellow by the name of Lee Harvey Oswald. Walked into a Sunday school class one day at a Baptist church in Dallas. He visited only one time. His name is on the record. Nobody ever visited him. Nobody ever went by to see him. Nobody ever did a follow-up. And perhaps that's why he did what he did. I know the story very well, and so have you heard it because you've heard me say it. John Dillinger went to a Baptist church one day and started to walk in, and a deacon stopped him. His clothes was all tattered and torn, and he was nasty looking. Probably looked like one of her bus kids. Walked up in front of the church and said, "I've come to learn some things." And the man said, "You're not wanted here. Why don't you go someplace else?" As he was walking off of the front lot of that church building, in his heart, recorded later in his own words, he said this, "I'm not wanted here, but one day I will be wanted." And he became public enemy number one. May I say that we need to be that one that reaches out a hand. Old D.L. Moody serving in that shoe cobbler's shop in Boston. And we've been by the place where D.L. Moody used to sell shoes there and on that Boston street. And we went up there, and Brother Ryan, David Ryan, a friend of mine that lives in Boston, a doctor, said, you know, that was Moody's shop. And may I say, Moody was just somebody that decided, hey, I'm going to become a millionaire. Somebody walked into that shoe cobbler's shop and changed his life. By the way, there was a Jack Hiles. There was a lady that was a faithful Sunday school teacher. And that faithful Sunday school teacher had a determination to be able to reach that little boy for Christ. Now, may I say, you understand this, that Lee Robertson received Christ at the age of 10. You know why? Because there was a Sunday school teacher that cared. Can I tell you that what you do in serving God is not in vain? It's not in vain. That's why I do what I do. Walk around, you see these little boys. Alex, come here if you will. Walk around, you see these little boys. I'm proud of him, proud of his parents. And thank God for them. Great Sunday school teachers. But you know, I watch this little boy. I don't know how many times I've watched him in the hallway, and I'll go up to him and I'll say, "Hey boy, yeah, I tell you what, you have got a sharp looking tie. I tell you, I love you and I'm so proud of you." You know, every little boy needs to hear that from somebody. Everybody needs somebody to believe in them. Everybody needs somebody to love them. I see these little girls, and they'll come up to me, and they'll meet me in the hallway, and I'll say, boy, that's a pretty outfit. Did you pick that out, or your mama picked that out? You did? Oh, you did good. All right? Now, by the way, every little girl needs to hear that. I said every little girl needs to hear that. Thank you. Be seated. These boys, they start. And by the way, listen, look, I'm sorry. I may be a little bit old-timey, but I still believe that people ought to dress up more for church than down. I'm telling you, if you take your wife out for a really nice date, you're going to dress up. You'll dress for the occasion. Is that right? Is that right? That's why we teach our boys. That's why we teach our girls. You say, but you know, preacher, your church is just a little bit different. Yeah, I thank God for that, don't you? I'd rather us be a little bit different in the right way and a little bit different than the wrong way. Now, I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying that it's not in vain. It's not in vain when you understand that salvation is there for you. It's not in vain when you understand that separation is good for you. It's not in vain when you understand that going soul winning will help you. You take a selfish kid and you put them out soul winning, and they get a burden for somebody else and they get their eyes off of themselves, that it helped them to be more humble, less stuck on their self. It take their pride away when they finally realize they need God and they're not everything that everybody thinks they are. Soul winning will help. Your service will help as you serve other people. Not in vain. I walked around. I'm done. I walked around. I went out to the carnival and helped as much as I could today and stayed as long as I could. And then Mrs. Wells and I took Rebecca. Rebecca had some visitors that came in on the, was going to come in, and she was afraid that she didn't make that personal pickup. And so her and mom went out and picked them up this morning as we're getting other people here and whatnot. And so they got the kids and picked them up. And so Mrs. Wells and I took them home, all right? And on the way home, Mrs. Wells wanted to treat them all to hamburgers. So she went in and get hamburgers, and I'm sitting in the vehicle, and I'm thinking, boy, I thank God for a wife that just loves people enough. Didn't matter what time she got home or even if she got home. Never came up. Never one time. All she wanted to do was take care of those little bus kids. Boy, I had fun walking around that carnival out there. I was walking up the kids. I said, I'm so glad you're here today. I was shaking adults' hands and say, thank you for coming. And I went around to as many people as I possibly could. And then I started going around to some of the booths and said, hey, thank you so much for doing this. And thank you for doing this. And man, you're doing a great job. And I went around to as many booths as I could. Then I hung out with some of the clowns. Got pictures of the clowns. And yeah, I saw Gracie over there and she had this. You know, and saw Elizabeth and. And then I saw Amanda, and let me see, who else did I see? Joey. I didn't recognize Joey. And I just went around. I was taking pictures of different ones. And then I was up there, and Brother Travis Yao was up there. And when kids would get out of the gate, he would shout, and I knew what he was doing. He was our bouncer. Kids would get out of the gate, and he'd say, where are you going? And so I thought I'd help corral. And so I said, hey, go back there. He's talking to you. And so, you know, I helped him for a little bit and just had fun. Just had fun. Now, may I say, it's fun serving Jesus Christ. It never gets old. And there's enough to do around here. You can plug in somewhere if you want to. Somebody says, well, I just don't know what I can do. You ever hear about the sign-ups that we do? You ever hear about, hey, we need people to help out with the carnival? By the way, you don't need a personal invitation. You just dive in and we'll get you working. Hello. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that God can use you. Father, help us, we pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.